looking at this passage, and it drew me to something near the end, and the more I dug into it, the more it started to bless me. And you think about it, and God's word just being true, you know, just saying he's the same God, and you know, isn't that the truth? He's the same God throughout the Bible. He's been the same God throughout my life and your life. And he always will be the same God, and I'm thankful for that, because I'm trusting in some of the promises that he has made, not just for today or tomorrow, but for eternity. And for him to, for me to really trust in that, he has to be an unchanging God. And I thank God that he is, not because I said it, because he said it. But let's look at Isaiah 48. We're going to read verses 8, 9, and 10, and then skip down to verse 16. But it says this: "Yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not, yea, from that time that thine ear was not open, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and wast called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Let's go down to verse 16. "Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for its truth. And Lord, I'm so thankful that we can come back together to worship you tonight. Lord, that you've gathered just a few of us. But Lord, I pray that your word would go out. Lord, strengthen my voice. Lord, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, that we could learn from you. Lord, we could learn and be challenged and encouraged and draw closer to you by your word and your Holy Spirit. We thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Amen. So what we, one of the things you see in verse 8 is something we don't like. He said, God's talking about Israel, and he calls them at the end of the verse a transgressor from the womb. He's saying, you were a sinner before you were even born. Before they could make any choices in their lives, they were already sinners. And guess what? The Bible says in Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." See, we inherited that sin nature from Adam, and that makes us a sinner even at the time of our birth. And our acts of sin that we do that follow us, all that does is that just provides more evidence that we were born in sin. And it says that death comes by sin in that passage. And then in the next chapter of Romans 6:23, it says the same thing: "For the wages of sin is death." But I'm glad it didn't stop there. It says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." I like that. I like whenever God talks about sin and death, he always talks about mercy. So when he's calling and he's saying that they were a transgressor from the womb in verse 8, then in verse 9, what's he say? "For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off." You know, God, you want to see where it talks about God showing mercy to sinners? And that's mercy right there. He says, "I'm going to defer my anger. I'm going to show patience with you. I'm going to hold off." I'm glad we don't get instant judgment. Israel deserved instant judgment, but he said, "I'll defer mine anger." Back in verse 1, I didn't read it, but he calls them, "O house of Jacob," in the first verse. That's their old name. Remember, Jacob, trickster, supplanter. He calls them by that name. And he says, I think it's in verse 2, "They swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth and righteousness." You know what he's saying? God's saying, saying, you talk about me with your lips, but you don't live righteously. You don't live in righteousness. You don't follow what I tell you to do. You don't follow my word or anything else. He's calling them hypocrites. And then, in fact, after calling them hypocrites, down in verse 4, he said, I knew that thou art obstinate. Or he's basically saying, I knew you were stubborn. Before I called you as my people, before I chose you as my chosen people and nation, I knew that you were obstinate. I knew you were stubborn. And so you can just pile all those things together. God knew they'd be stubborn. He knew they'd be defiant. He knew they wouldn't trust him at times. He knew they'd be rebellious and lazy. And he did all that for the children of Israel. But aren't you glad he did that for us as well? He knew we would be stubborn. He knew we wouldn't trust at times. He knew we would defy and rebel and be lazy and ignore. And he still sent his beloved son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And I say, praise God. Goes back to the song. He's the same God. Praise God. He was the same God that showed the house of Jacob mercy when they were being tricksters and hypocrites. And I'm glad he's shown me mercy when I've done the same thing. He's a good God. But look at verse 9. Let's go back to the beginning. Why did he do it? Why did he show us mercy? Why did he send Jesus Christ to die for our sins? Sometimes we get so selfish and think it's all about us. He said, I did it for my name's sake. You see that? For my name's sake, God is saying, this is what the Lord is saying. For my name's sake, will I defer mine anger? And I praise God for that, that he defers his anger. Because if he was doing it for my name's sake, Mike's name's sake, instead of the Lord, there would be nothing that would stop judgment. It would come immediately because my righteousness is filthy rags. There's no good thing in me without Jesus Christ. So we should just give God all the glory for his name's sake. That's what he's saying. And he, for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. That's what we deserve. We deserve to be cut off from God, separated forever. When he kicked them out of the Garden of Eden, man never deserved to walk with God again. But I'm glad that he showed us mercy. So every time we stray away from God, every time we backslide, every time we sin, every time we do our own will, that should draw us back to God and draw us to repentance. And then when that happens and we repent, we turn back to God and he shows us mercy, we ought to praise him, because it's for his name's sake that he has given us another chance. Praise God. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger. That's what he's telling Israel. But look at verse 10. Because you were sinners, because the Jacob came out in you from time to time, and you were hypocrites, because you were stubborn and obstinate, he says, I'll show you mercy for my name's sake. But then in verse 10, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of afflictions. See, we don't like that. He said, I sent afflictions your way, and I did that to refine you. And he calls it a furnace of affliction. It starts, you know, as we're in the cold of winter right now and thinking about fires and furnaces and everything to keep us warm. We like a fire when it's cold, but we don't like to be thrown in the fire. And that's what he's saying right there. I sent you into bondage. He's talking to Israel. I let enemies camp around your city. I let them take you captive from time to time. I let them, you pay tribute to them and reign, them reign over you. I allowed plagues to come, right? That's where we're at right now. I allowed you to be in trials and pass through the fire. And here's the thing. I did that so the furnace could burn away some of the impurities, right? Could burn away some of that stubbornness, could burn away some of the laziness and where you're trying to go your own way and be selfish. And that's what happens. You realize he called them hypocrites in the beginning, and you think about something. There's nothing. You know what? I've seen hypocrites go for a while, and sometimes you can't tell who's real and who's not. But have you seen a good trial come? And then the hypocrites are gone, right? They can't handle it, right? You see it. If someone's not in it for the right reason, they'll fade out. They'll leave. And that's why we've got to serve God for his glory, right? It's for his name's sake that we do anything. Because if we were doing it for ourselves, it won't last in the middle of the fire and in the middle of the trial. But I'll tell you what. If we realize that this trial is part of God's allowing to draw us closer to him, then we could say, you know what, God? that must have meant that I was further away than I need to be, and God help me through it, but also, Lord, help me to get closer to you, and Lord, help me to give you the glory through the whole thing. That's what I believe we need to do right now. And we're in the middle of a plague. We're in the middle of this going on, this virus and everything else, and there are trials going on, not just across the world like that, but in our own families and in our own lives, and people that were friends and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to give God the glory, and we need to realize something. He's saying, listen, I've had to refine you from time to time. So sometimes when we say, Lord, get me out of it, we need to say, Lord, show me what you're trying to show me and help draw me to you.
Yes.
You know, I believe he does that for his name's sake too. You know why? We're God's people. We're followers of Jesus Christ. So that means we shouldn't be acting like Jacob. We need to be acting like Israel. We need to be acting like we trust God, not in our stubbornness, but in our righteousness. And hopefully these trials will bring us closer to the Lord and get rid of some of these unrighteous tendencies that we have. For my name's sake, he says, well, I will show you mercy, but I'll also send you into the furnace of affliction from time to time. We're God's people. We need to be separate and draw him close, have him draw us closer to him and be new creatures in Christ.
Amen.
All right, let's skip down to verse 16. So what's he say? He says, come ye near unto me, hear ye this. One of the things I noticed in this passage, we didn't read the whole chapter, but if you read it tonight or tomorrow when you get home, the Lord talks and he tells them, I want you to listen. Verse 1, hear ye this. Verse 12, hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel. Verse 14, all ye, assemble yourselves and hear. Verse 16, come ye near unto me, hear ye this. One of the things that he's going and reminding them and telling them, commanding them over and over again. He's saying, listen, you're Israel, you're in wickedness, you're in rebellion right now, you're in hypocrisy, you're being stubborn. Is the same reason they were in that state, is the same reason and you and I can get in that state, is because the further we get from God, the less we listen to his voice. You see that? He's telling them, I need you to listen to me. And the less we listen to his voice, the more we stop getting into his word and listening to what the Holy Spirit leads us. The further we get away from God, the harder it is for us to hear him. It's just no different than you and I. The further you and I get, it's harder to hear each other. Same thing with God. It's harder. He says, come ye near unto me. I don't want you to get closer. I want you to get right up on me. That's what he's saying. Come near to me. And then once you get close, I want you to listen. Hear ye this. They'd wandered apart from God and they needed to get back with him. But look what he says. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. Do you see that? He'd given them the law in the beginning, right? He had sent them the truth. Then he had sent them judges and prophets. And now we get to Isaiah the prophet. He said, I did not keep my will. I did not keep my expectations. I did not keep my standard for that I wanted for you and the promises. None of this was a secret. That's what he's telling them. Nothing was a secret. And you realize we're in the same boat right now. There is no secrets with God. He has fully revealed himself to us in his word. There's no special prophecy or anything else that you and I are getting today. Nothing of private interpretation. You know what it is? It's just getting into what God has already given us. He says, I've given you this from the beginning. Isn't that the truth? You can go to John 1:1 and you can see in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. He said, it's not a secret. It's right here. The only reason it's a secret is because we don't get into it sometimes. It's not that it's a secret. It's just something that we don't turn to. He's given us the Bible. You've had my word from the beginning. And then the prophet, later on in the verse, he starts talking in first person. He says, and now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Not only do we have God's word, not only do we have the Bible, but aren't you glad we've got men and women of God that are filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with God's word, and they have taught us how to live godly lives. They've taught us what God expects out of us. And here's what, it all boils down to this. Living a righteous life isn't a mystery. is it? God is clear in his expectations for you and I. Really, it just boils down to, will we listen, will we obey, and will we make the choice to live godly? Or will we make the choice to live opposite? That's it. It's not a secret. Verse 17, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit and which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. I tell you what, anyone that's willing to learn to live a godly life, any Christian person that's willing to fully turn to the Lord, it says, the Lord thy God, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, you turn to the Lord, you listen to the Lord. What's he say? You live for me and watch your life change. Isn't that what he says? I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. You see what he says? You start listening to me. You start letting me lead your life. You start living in righteousness and not disobeying my word. Your life will be better than it was before. And I don't know if you've noticed that in your life. I've noticed that in my life. I'm living a better life. The closer I get to God, the better my life is. And I'm not talking about my wallet, because some of the prosperity preachers will say, yep, the closer you get to God, the more profit. No, your life will get better. We may not get rich, but I tell you what, we'll be rich in Jesus Christ. We'll have eternal riches. And here's the thing. He's asking, watch your life change. But then it also comes to a question. Are you tired of the trips to the furnace of affliction? Come near to the Lord. Listen what he has to say. He'll teach you, and he'll leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you what, when you're trying to lead yourself, there is a million different opportunities and choices out here. But aren't you glad that God has a plan for our life?
Amen.
And when we follow his leading, it's such a blessing. Let's keep going on. Remember, the Lord's told them they were hypocrites at the beginning. He said, you were sinners from the womb. You were stubborn. You were obstinate. He told them that he chose them. Here's the best thing that I don't even know if I really got into this much, but even though he knew that they were sinners at birth, he still chose them. Even though he knew that they would mess up, he still chose them, knowing how many times that the children of Israel would fail him and would fall short and would turn to other gods. Aren't you glad that he's done that with us as well? He still chose us. He still saved us, knowing how many times we would fail him. So he says here, I have shown you mercy for my name's sake. Remember, we talked about that. And I sent you through the furnace of affliction from time to time to refine your life. And now he says, I want you to come near. I want you to come near to me. I want you to listen. Look at verses 18 and 19. This is what hit me out of the whole passage. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. You know what God was telling Israel right here? I have not been able to bless you as much as I wanted to bless you. That's what he's saying right there. Because you refused to follow my commandments. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. That's what he's saying right there. Your unrighteousness caused you to miss out on peace that I would have sent you, peace like a river.
Yeah.
You could have had a river of peace, right? But your unrighteousness caused you to get a furnace of affliction. That's what we've gotten to as you get down to this part. He's saying you could have had this, but instead, because of your stubbornness, because you refused to hearken, because you went your own way, because you were hypocrites saying that you were righteous but weren't, you did all these things, and I sent you a furnace of affliction. You missed out on blessings from me because you went your own way. You followed your own will, and you worshiped your own gods.
Yeah.
Right? And we could stop right here. We could say, you know what? This is Israel, right? You go through the Old Testament. This is Israel. You know, God had shown so much love to them. He'd shown blessings to them. He poured out so many things on them. And then they would turn. They would go their own way. They would go in their own sins. They would adopt the false gods from the nations around them. They would do all this stuff. God would punish them, let them go into affliction for a while. They would wake up. They would repent. They would cry out to God. God would save them. He'd bring them out of bondage. He'd bless them again. And it's just a revolving circle, right? That's what we see over and over again with Israel. And we could pick on them and say, man, look at them. Why wouldn't they just wake up? Why wouldn't they just realize what they were doing and just draw close to God and do what God told them to do? But the more I thought about that, God could say the exact same thing to the church today, right? I would have blessed you so much more. You're blessed now, right? We are blessed. Praise God. God has blessed us beyond measure. God has been so good to us. God has poured out his grace and his mercy on us day after day. And the same thing was he doing with the children of Israel. But I believe he could say the same thing to the church today. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Oh, that thou, if you would have walked by faith, if you would have trusted me, if you'd have drawn close to me, if you'd have done what I've called you to do, if you wouldn't have forsaken me and done other things, if you wouldn't have chose your own way, but chose the way that I was leading you, and we could just go on and on and on, I would have blessed you even more.
Yeah.
And that's when it hit home. You think about that. They missed out on blessings from the Lord, but so have we. We have missed out on the Lord blessing us, on the Lord doing things in our lives. We've missed out because of going our own way.
Yeah.
I would have multiplied you. That's what he was saying there in verse 19 with their seed and their offspring. I would have multiplied you, but you chose your own way. You know, it reminded me of David. Remember King David after he had sinned? And Nathan the prophet came to visit, 2 Samuel 12, 7 and 8. And Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and I gave thee a house of Israel and of Judah. See, he's saying, look at all this I've done for you. But then he finishes with this. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. God said, I have blessed you with so much. I made you king. I protected you. I gave you a home. Even when Saul was going after you, I gave you Israel and Judah as kingdoms. And he says, if that would have been too little, I would have given, moreover, I would have given unto thee such and such things. You know what God told David through the prophet Nathan right there? He said, listen, I blessed you a lot, but I would have blessed you even more. But you tried to go get what you wanted yourself instead of coming to me for blessings.
Right.
Whoo! We're missing out on blessings. Not only that, but I think about James 4, 2. Says this, ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and ye desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not. And then he finishes with this, because ye ask not. I think we're missing out on blessings, not only because we're going our own way, not following the Lord, not hearkening unto his commandments, but I think one of the biggest reasons we are missing out today is because we don't ask the Lord for things that we need. We feel like we are self-sufficient. We won't admit it, but just like Jacob was being hypocritical and acting like we were fine, yet on the inside there's turmoil. In the inside, if we would just admit to God what he already knows, we'd admit it to ourselves. God, I need you. I need to draw closer to you. I need to trust you more. I need to rely on you more. And Lord, there are things that I need in my life that I need to quit trying to get for myself.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. He's saying you are missing out on blessings. You're missing out on things that you need because you're not asking or because of unrighteousness. Or because of all these other things. You know what that tells me? What did he say? He gave him instructions. Verse 16. Come ye near unto me.
Yeah.
We've got to draw closer to the Lord. And not only that. Not just draw close. Hear ye this. Right? We got to listen. What are we listening to? This right here. God's word. Who else we listen to? The Holy Spirit leading us. If we won't open up our ear and we won't get close, we won't hear the still small voice,
right? We won't hear, we won't listen to God's word, and we need to listen to those Christians around us that God is using to teach and to preach to us and to help us. We need to listen. You know what he'll do? In areas that we've failed, he'll show us mercy for his name's sake. Praise God. And for his glory. And you realize that really is our sole purpose in life anyway. Is to do things for Jesus' name's sake and for his glory. He says, you focus on that. You draw close to me. You listen to me. You obey my word. You obey my leading. And wait till you see what happens. Wait till you see your life change. Wait till you see the prophet that comes out. And that's the thing. He says, thy seed also had been as the sand. He's not saying, I'm not going to add to you. It's almost not even multiply. It's even more than that. He's saying beyond measure.
Yeah.
That's our God. You know who puts limits on our limitless God? That's us.
Yeah.
He says, I just want you to draw closer. Are you feeling the fire? The furnace of affliction? Maybe it's the Lord saying, hey, I'm just trying to refine you.
Yeah.
Wake you up. That's what he did with the prodigal son right there on the hog pen, right? He got to the point where he was just under so much affliction, and he said he just stopped and he came to himself. I love that phrase in the Bible. He came to himself and he realized it was better at Father's house. Sometimes we need to do the same. Maybe we're not in a far country. Maybe we're not in riotous living. But I'll tell you what, we don't even have to go that far. We just need to start straying away from Father's house and straying away from Father's will. And he's saying, just come back.
Yeah.
Come unto me. Listen, I've got something for you.
Amen.
I've got blessings for you. Aren't you glad he's the same God?
Yes.
Same God that showed mercy to Jacob. Same one that'll show mercy to us. All right, let's stand. We're going to open up the altar to pray tonight.